Tonight, we're going to do a sharing on you and Yahweh make a majority, basically on the life or one incident of Jonathan. And his name is actually Yonathan.
Yochanan?
No, it's not Yochanan. It's Y-O-N-A-T-H-A-N.
Yonathan.
And so we do Jonathan, like J-O-N, and they don't break it there. It should be J-O, which is really a Y-O.
You know,
and now I'll probably say Jonathan, but Yonathan. Yonathan. So I said Jonathan, it's Yonathan. And it means Yahweh has given. Christ is in each one of us. And if we act as Jonathan did, I'll just say Jonathan, it's a little bit more confusing. Jonathan did, we're going to learn some good stories of what Yahweh can do when one person is willing to go forward. So we're going to look at a little history first. So we go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 3.
Just hold on now.
Will you say that again?
1 Samuel 7, verse 3.
Okay, 1 Samuel 7, verse 3.
Yeah, chapter 7, verse 3.
Thank you.
Ma'am, I'll remember the chapter isn't marked in Rotherham.
Sure it is.
Well, I had to write my name for chapter 7 is 1 Samuel.
No, it's right over here.
Oh.
That's all right.
It's on the side.
But once in a while, I think there are mistakes like that. So we're going to look at a little history of what we're building up to on a tremendous event that happened in Jonathan's life because of his action. So we're going to see the story of the Philistines. The Philistines have always been a problem going back to Israel, to Samson, to everybody else of killing the Philistines, right into David's life and Saul's. So we're going to see, this is Samuel, and we'll begin with people being delivered, going back to Yahweh. So they've abandoned Yahweh for, I think, 20-some years. Hophni and Phinehas got killed. Eli died. Because people were worshiping false gods, and now they're coming back at this particular time. So we're going to see this. Verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if with all your heart you are returning unto Yahweh, then put away the gods of the foreigner out of your midst, and the Ashtaroths, and firmly set your heart towards Yahweh, and serve him alone, that he may deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So there's the requirements. So they still got false gods with them in this day. So the sons of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths and served Yahweh alone. And Samuel said, gather all people unto Mishpat. You gather all Israel unto Mishpat, that I may pray for you unto Yahweh. So they gathered themselves unto Mishpat and drew near and poured it out before Yahweh and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against Yahweh. And Samuel judged the sons of Israel in Mishpat. And when I try to say Israel, I'm surely trying to say Yisrael. Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. Yisrael. That's a true pronunciation. Let's see. And when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered themselves together unto Mishpat, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard it, they shrank with fear from the face of the Philistines. And the sons of Israel said unto Samuel, do not turn in silence from us, from making outcry unto Yahweh our Elohim, that he would save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took one suckling lamb and offered it up as an entire sinning sacrifice unto Yahweh, and Samuel made outcry unto Yahweh for Israel, and Yahweh answered him. And when Samuel was offering up the ascending sacrifice, the Philistines drew near to fight against Israel, but Yahweh thundered with a great noise throughout the day. So this is very good.
Over the Philistines,
and confused them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went forth out of Mishpat and pursued the Philistines and smote them as far as unto Bethkar. That is what is the beginning of this time period, what Samuel just did, with the thunderings. And we go into the appointment of Saul, chapter 11, 1 Samuel chapter 11. The first king of Israel, and 6 to 11. Milan, you want to read that?
Yeah, chapter 6, or...
No, chapter 11, verse 6 to 11.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Chapter 11. Verse 6 through 11.
Chapter 11, 4 to 6?
6, chapter 11, verse 6.
Okay, one more time.
Chapter 11, that's
chapter
11, Samuel.
Chapter 11, 4 6, okay.
Chapter
11,
verse 6.
Verse 6, got it. I got it.
Okay.
We're still in Samuel, right?
Yes.
Okay, go.
Go ahead.
And the Spirit of Yahweh came suddenly upon Saul when he heard these words, and his anger raged furiously. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent throughout the bounds of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto this oxen. Then fell the dread of Yahweh upon the people, and they came forth as one man. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the sons of Israel were found to be 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. So they said unto the messengers who had come, thus shall ye surely say to the men of
Jabesh-Gilead,
tomorrow shall ye have deliverance about the time that the sun is hot. And when the messengers came and told the men of Jabesh, they rejoiced. So the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow will we come out unto you, then shall ye do with us according to all is good in your eyes. And it came to pass on the morrow that Saul sent the people in three companies, and they entered the midst of the host during the morning watch and smote Ammon until the day was hot. It came to pass that they who were left were scattered, so that there were not left among them two together.
There we go, right there. A great victory also in this particular case. And so Saul, once a spirit, he made king, but people really didn't follow him, so this is his first real kingly duty. The spirit of Elohim entered him, and they had 330,000 men at this time. 330,000 men. That established him as king. Now, so we're going to go back to chapter 12, verse 20, same page. Chapter 20. Then said Samuel unto the people, do not fear, you have done all the wrong, nevertheless do not turn aside from following Yahweh. This is after the thundering of the Philistines.
Okay.
And they were, he was mad because they chose a king over Yahweh. And turn not, and 21, and turn not aside after vanities that can neither profit nor deliver, because vanities they are. For Yahweh will not give up his people because of his great name, for Yahweh is mighty to make you his people. As for me also, far be it from me that I should be sinned against Yahweh, excuse me, and ceasing to pray for you, and I will direct you in the good and right way. Only revere Yahweh and serve him in truth with all your heart, for see what great things he hath done with you. But if you will do wrong, both ye and your king shall be swept away. So, do right and go with Yahweh. Now, when do you want to read 13? And tell you chapter 13. We're going to read the whole chapter.
Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men out of Israel, of whom there were with Saul 2,000 in Michmash, and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin. But the rest of the people he let go every man to his own home. Then did Jonathan smite the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew with a horn throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say, Saul hath smitten the garrison of the Philistines. Moreover also, Israel have made themselves odious among the Philistines. So the people were called together to follow Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, a people also like the sand that is on the seashore for multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash, east of Beth Aven. So the men of Israel saw they were in a strait, for the people had been harassed, and the people had hidden themselves in caves and in thickets and among cliffs and in holes and in pits. And Hebrews had paused, the printing in here, not very good. And Hebrews had passed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead, but Saul was yet in Gilgal, and all the people trembled after him. And he waited 7 days by the set time that Samuel had named. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Then said Saul, bring near unto me the ascending sacrifice and the peace offerings. And he offered up the ascending sacrifice. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of offering up the ascending sacrifice, lo, Samuel had come, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might bless him. Then said Samuel, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people had been scattered from me, and thou hadst not come within the appointed days, and the Philistines had gathered themselves together to Michmash, therefore I said, now will all the Philistines come down against me at Gilgal, but the face of Yahweh have I not appeased. So I forced myself and offered up the ascending sacrifice. And Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast shown thyself foolish. Thou hast not kept the commandment of Yahweh thy God, the Elohim, which he commanded thee. For now would Yahweh have established thy kingdom unto Israel until time's age abiding. Whereas now shall thy kingdom not be established. Yahweh has sought out for him a man after his own heart, and Yahweh hath commanded him to be leader over his people, because thou hast not kept that which Yahweh commanded thee. And Samuel arose and ascended from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were found with him, about 600 men. Now Saul and Jonathan...
Just stop there. You got 600 men. And how many do the Philistines have?
Much as the sand on the sea.
Yeah, they got 30,000 chariots and who's here?
Well, they got a bunch.
Anyway. Yeah, they like the sand in the sea, you're right. So he's got 600 men. Now you had 2,000, and Jonathan had 1,000, so obviously over half is left. You know, go ahead.
Read?
Yeah.
Now Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were found with him were abiding in Geba of Benjamin, and the Philistines had encamped in Michmash, and the spoilers came forth out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. The first company turned unto the way of Ophrah, unto the land of Shual, and the second company turned unto the way of Beth-horon, and the third company turned unto the way of the boundary that overlooketh the valley of Zeboim towards the wilderness. Now a smith could not be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines had said, lest the Hebrews make swords of spear. So all Israel went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share. And his mattock and his axe and his sickle. Howbeit they had a file for the sickles and the mattocks and the three-pronged forks and the axes and for setting the goads. Thus would it come to pass in the day of battle that there was found neither sword nor spear in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But such were found belonging to Saul and to Jonathan his son. Now the garrison of the Philistines had come out to the pass of Michmash.
That shows you how ill-equipped they were. But here's a lesson. And one person said, why do you think Samuel was late? Was to try Saul to see if he would panic or not once people are leaving. Because you got to remember, of all the history of great success when you follow Yahweh, which Samuel had that by the thundering. Gideon had it. Samson had it. So you have a whole history. Moses had it. So you had a whole history of great success, completely being outnumbered. So what kind of person are you when the numbers start decreasing?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So before it saw, Shaul did the sacrifice, they had about 3,000 people?
Yeah, 2,000 and 1,000.
That was reduced to 600?
Yeah.
That's why he did the sacrifice?
Yeah. Okay. You said people were leaving.
Okay, so they only had 600 left.
And when people saw they were going into their caves and their holes and things like that because they saw the number of the Philistines.
But that's why they said that when they saw Jonathan and his armor bearer coming. The Hebrews are all hiding in holes.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to read 6 again. We'll kind of edit out some of the stuff.
6 what? Verse 6?
Yeah, 14, verse 6, what we read before. So Jonathan said unto the young man bearing his armor, come and let us cross over unto the garrison of the uncircumcised, peradventure Yahweh may work by us. For there is no restraint with Yahweh to save by many or by few. And his armor-bearer said to him, do all this in thy heart, decide for thyself, lo, I am with thee, according to thy own heart. Then said Jonathan, lo, we are crossing over unto the men, and we'll discover ourselves unto them. If thus they say unto us, keep quiet until we get to you, then will we stand still where we are, and will not go up unto them. But if thus they say, come unto us, then we will go up, for Yahweh hath delivered them into our hand. This then is our sign, so they discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, lo, Hebrews coming forth out of the holes wherein they had hidden themselves. And the men of the garrison responded to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up unto us, and we will let you know a thing. Then Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for Yahweh hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. He didn't say, armor bearer, get in front of me, and we're going to take these guys. So Jonathan went up on his hands and on his feet, and his armor-bearer followed him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer was slain after him. And the first smiting wherewith Jonathan and his armor-bearer smote was about 20 men within, as it were, half a furlough length of a yoke of land. So it's trying to show you the size of the plateau, it might be, that they are on. And there came to be a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people, the outposts and the spoilers. Look what Jonathan has just unleashed. They too trembled, and what happened?
The earthquake.
And the earthquake, so it became a preternatural trembling. And look at the footnote, what that says. B.
Trembling of Yahweh.
A trembling of Elohim. The word is Elohim. And so Yahweh, by what Jonathan did an earthquake for the Philistines.
Wow.
And that got their attention right off the bat. Now, it's very interesting. Now, it's sad. But how other people translated this same scripture. Instead of saying a trembling of God, a trembling of Elohim, the word Elohim is in the verse. That's that word. Young's has a trembling of Elohim. Good. King James, very great trembling. That's what Stephen has. The word Elohim is not in there.
Mm-hmm.
Very great. So they got very great for Elohim.
Yeah, but yeah.
Now watch this. ESV, very great panic.
Huh.
The NASV, great trembling. So they translate Elohim, great.
Huh.
The NIV, panic sent by Elohim. And nothing about the earthquake. All right. And the New Living Translation, everyone was terrified.
That's so, not even
so there's
close.
No trembling,
yeah.
There's no Elohim.
Huh.
But it shows you how things were.
Slowly gets worse and worse.
Yeah, it gets worse and worse, and you have to be thank Yahweh for the Roth or Ammon and for the Youngs of actually showing this is Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else does that. So the earthquake, and you can also see this, we won't go to it, but 2 Samuel 22:8, Psalms 18, verse 7, and Psalm 77, 18, the same word, which is ragaz, earthquake. Now we go to 1 Samuel, the conclusion of the event, 14, verse 46. Because a rout happens because of what Jonathan did, not what Jonathan did, unleashed Yahweh to do a great trembling. The trembling or the earthquake of Elohim.
That's so neat.
Yeah. And 46. And then everything went, they start running for the hills. You know, they know about this God. They had that great thundering. And actually, when the Ark of the Covenant came to them from Hophni and Phinehas, they got plagued all over the place.
And they said they remembered Egypt.
They realized.
And they remembered Egypt.
Yeah, they remembered. Don't mess with these guys when Yahweh is with them.
When they're being obedient, do not mess with them.
When they're being obedient. In 46, then Saul went out from following the Philistines, and the Philistines departed unto their own place. Instead of Hebrews hiding in the holes, the Philistines ran. And Saul took possession of the kingdom over Israel and made war round about all his enemies against Moab. And this is all because of Jonathan.
Wait a minute, where are you?
Verse 47, chapter 14, 47? Verse 7. Okay. So remember, Jonathan, everybody else was in a stagnation. They were just waiting. Jonathan said, Yahweh, by few or by many, will do this. Amen. And Jonathan unleashed the power of Yahweh. Wow. So we're looking at our lives. If we're willing to act what an individual can do, and the person following an individual who will actually work, they need support. 47, and Saul took possession of the kingdom over Israel and made war round about all his enemies against Moab, against the sons of Ammon, against Edom, against the king of Sobot, and against the Philistines, and whomsoever he turned against, he was victorious. Then made he ready a force and smote the Amalekites and delivered Israel out of the hand of such as plundered them. Let's go to 52. And the war was severe against the Philistines all the days of Saul, and whensoever Saul saw any mighty man or any son of valor, he drew him unto him. But you saw this unleashed the confidence of following Yahweh.
And the terror to the Philistines.
So we have to, and so we have to look at, we know there was, David did the same thing with Goliath, what one person can do, Moses, Gideon, Deborah. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. There was Stephen, a one man, a wrecking ball, who had faith. Let's just go to Acts chapter 6. See, what Stephen felt. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 6.
Acts chapter 6, thank you.
One man wrecking ball. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
And those are always for our lessons. Why does Yahweh record these? Is to inspire us, and that's what obviously Donald Trump is doing right now, mm-hmm. to a great extent, and Mike Pence. They're taking on the hordes, which are the Philistines, is the Democrat Party. Those are the Philistines.
Muslims.
Yeah, and so is Islam, yeah. Okay, Acts 6, verses 1 through 8. But in these days, the disciples mightily... in these days, disciples multiplying, there rose a murmur of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews, and that their widows were being overlooked at the daily ministry. And the 12 calling near the throng of the disciples said, it does not seem right that we forsake the word of Yahweh, it should be ministering unto tables. But look out for yourself, brethren, 7 men from among you who can be well attested, full of Ruach and wisdom. When we say full of Ruach, that's people who are manifest in Ruach. Very simple, because everybody who is baptized in Christ received Ruach. Some people, you will never know it. There will be no manifestation whatsoever. So we want people who are going to manifest. So they picked out 7, whom we will appoint over this need. But we, unto prayer and unto the ministry of the word, will give constant attention. And the word was pleasing in the sight of all the throng, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith and holy Ruach. So when you say, that goes hand in hand, and Philip and we know all the rest of them. And now we can look at verse 8. Now Stephen, full of favor and what?
Power.
Power began to do what?
Wonders and signs.
Signs among people. There's one man who had the same rock that we have. And we can look at chapter 8 of Acts, verse 4. This is Philip, the other one. They indeed, therefore, who were scattered abroad, passed through telling the good news of the word, and Philip, going down into the city of Samaria, proclaimed unto them the Christ. And the multitude began to give heed unto the things that they were being spoken by Philip with one accord when they heard him, and saw the signs which he was working, full of faith. For many who had impure spirits, shouting with a loud voice, they were going out, and many that were paralyzed and lame were cured. And there could be great joy in that city. So this can show you what one individual can do, unleashing Yahweh. And we know we've got 12 verse 18. Yahweh places us in the body as it has pleased him. And then you go to verse 27 and 31, you'll get to see the members, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, mighty works, gifts of healing. So everybody's got their gifts, and he says, seek the best gift. Amen. So we're all supposed to get into that kind of frame, because Yahweh's got a lot of stuff you can do if you will just get some Jonathans and armor bearers to actually walk, not wait, but start head in the direction. That's all you got to do, is head in the direction. And here is the Philistines, and Jonathan says, if they say they're going to kick our ass, that means Yahweh's for us.
Yeah.
Hi there, Philistines. Come up here. We're going
to
kick your ass.
Go off on this.
Amen. Thank you.
You're in big trouble now.
You know, carry my sword, and you come crawling up there, and then whack, 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 and all of a sudden you're like, that was it.
And then the ground starts trembling and the...
Yeah, I'm going to read another one. This is, zoom in on this. This is the same SF. You ever heard of Audie Murphy? He was the United States' greatest decorated veteran in World War II, ever. Tell me after you got it. And he actually wrote a book and became a movie, To Hell and Back. Huh. And I'm going to have Mom, since I'm kind of tired, read what this guy actually did. Yeah.
Okay. This citation was awarded to Audie Murphy for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity involving risk of life above and beyond the call of duty in action with the enemy on January 26, 1945. The citation reads, Second Lieutenant Murphy commanded Company B, which was attacked by 6 tanks and waves of infantry. Second Lieutenant Murphy ordered his men to withdraw to prepare positions in the woods, while he remained forward at his command post and continued to give fire directions to the artillery by telephone. Behind him to his right, one of our tank destroyers received a direct hit and began to burn. Its crew withdrew to the woods. Second Lieutenant Murphy continued to direct artillery fire, which killed large numbers of the advancing enemy infantry. With the enemy tanks abreast of his position, Murphy climbed on the burning tank destroyer, which was in danger of blowing up at any moment, and employed its 50 caliber machine gun against the enemy. He was alone and exposed to German fire from 3 sides, but his deadly fire killed dozens of Germans and caused their infantry attack to waver. The enemy tanks, losing infantry support, began to fall back. For an hour, the Germans tried every available weapon to eliminate 2nd Lieutenant Murphy.
Wow.
But he continued to hold his position and wiped out a squad which was trying to creep up unnoticed on his right flank. Germans reached as close as 10 yards, only to be mowed down by his fire. He received a leg wound, but ignored it and continued the single-handed fight until his ammunition was exhausted. He then made his way to his company, refused medical attention, and organized the company into a counterattack, which forced the Germans to withdraw. His directing of artillery fire wiped out many of the enemy. He killed or wounded about 50. Lieutenant Murphy's indomitable courage and his refusal to give an inch of ground saved his company from possible encirclement and destruction and enabled it to hold the woods, which had been the enemy's objective.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. So I did a little piece of history, and that's a Jonathan.
That's a Jonathan, for sure.
And actually, Sergeant York did the same kind of thing. There was a guy that was in World War I, Sergeant York, and he picked off one at a time. And he got a whole German to surrender.
Oh, yeah.
He was a marksman, and the turkey calls, and they put their head up, and bing, bing, until all of a sudden they surrendered, and here's one man bringing in like 30 guys.
Was that Murphy that did that?
No, this is World War I. Oh, yeah. Sergeant York was his name.
That's right, yeah.
And then obviously we saw Hacksaw Ridge. With this guy, what one person can do, and that's the point.
Amazing.
So we'll go ahead and hear from our Father a word of prophecy for the hearers and the viewers. And close this out. Well, Father, we thank you for your words of encouragement and that we actually activate your Ruach and put it into motion. So we thank you for these words through Christ our Lord. Be excited because you are blessed. I have endowed you with great spiritual ability. You are my sons and my daughters who I have placed in the positions of authority and preeminence in order that you may penetrate the darkness and deliver those people from the power of darkness and extinguish the flames of the dark one. So walk forth and take my word and be mighty in its dealing and believe it, act upon it, and it will set the captives free. Amen. See you next week.
Yay.